This is the Seahawkers Podcast Quick Reaction Show for the Seahawks win over the Arizona Cardinals 27-24. They get the late field goal by Seabass, and joining me to talk about it, Ross Bell, UK Seahawker and host of the First and 10 podcast. Ross, how you doing?
Very good, mate. How are you?
You know what? I don't need this. I don't need games this close with the Cardinals and their 32nd ranked offense coming into Seattle. And gosh, fortunately, they don't get their fourth win in a row. But man, the Seahawks just had to make it hard on us for the final week. And I don't know. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty much the same as you. Every time we play these, I said to my wife during the game, I dislike these more than any team because they're rubbish, but they always beat us. Or if they don't, they keep it really, really close. It's baffling that we play down to them every single time.
And they nearly found a way to pull it out between the Seahawks dropping passes from Russell Wilson, linemen giving up sacks on nearly every third down, it felt like, in the first half. And just atrocious special teams play throughout the game.
Yeah, I'm sure the Seahawks Twitter guys, the beat reporters, were just copy and pasting. Third and down. Oh, yeah, Seahawks give up a sack. Russell Wilson sack. Third down. Every single time, it felt like.
Third down efficiency on the day for the Seahawks. 4 of 14 is all. The Cardinals weren't much better, though. So credit to the defense. 4 of 17 for the Cardinals on third down. The Seahawks able to pick up 291 yards on the day, 182 yards rushing. They finally got the run game going in the second half, it felt like.
Hasn't it felt like all season Chris Carson's been one broken tackle or one extra block away from breaking a 60-yard run? He's been like 15, 18, 20, but he couldn't quite break it, and it was so delightful to see him run for 61 yards.
Yeah, that 61-yard breakaway play helped get him up to 122 yards on the day on 19 carries. I was hoping for just an easy day for Carson, but they needed him. They needed all 19 of those carries. Mike Davis helped out a little bit, 7 carries, 44 yards. He had that 17-yard touchdown run to get into the end zone.
Excellent little cut on that run as well.
Yeah, nifty little move on the dude on the outside, able to get around and into the end zone. That run helped put him up 21-13 early on in the third quarter. Seahawks going to halftime, just up 14-13. Zing Gonzalez for the Cardinals, man. That dude booting 50-yarders left and right this game.
Was he the guy missing kicks for the Browns earlier this season?
Oh, yeah, that's the guy that was drafted. Like, was he drafted by Tampa?
Yeah, I'm sure he's played for two or three teams this season.
I think this might be his fourth team.
Yeah, we discussed this on my podcast last week that Chandler Catanzaro is now on his fourth team in 3 years. I think Gonzalez is going to try and beat that record. But yeah, 3 for 3, 55 yards is longest. I didn't think he was going to make that. But Seabass was good today. I think he's under the radar a little bit of how kind of suspect he's been at times this season.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of a different guy for Tampa, but yeah, you're right, Cleveland and then Arizona. So just the two teams, I guess, for Gonzalez. But yeah, Seabass ends up getting the game-winning 33-yard field goal. Seahawks able to line him up after Chris Carson bounces to the outside, gets him quite a bit closer. Seabass maybe was the one bright spot on special teams because you had two blocked punts. One of those block punts went for a touchdown. One was just blocked short. You had another punt return that was given up for a pretty significant amount. I did not like the punting unit on the field.
No, whoever's missing their blocks were making Michael Dixon a very angry man. And an angry Aussie is not a man you want to be messing with.
No, 30 yards net on the day for Dixon.
Wow. Yeah, that's not good for him. One of them was a huge punt as well, wasn't it?
He did have a 65-yarder, yeah.
Man's a machine. But yeah, he was getting no time to get that ball away. Someone was missing blocks every time because it was coming from the same area.
Yeah, one was up the middle, one was from the right side. And, bad blocking on the day. It wasn't just special teams. It was also the offensive line. And we were kind of curious how it was going to play out with DJ Fluker staying on the bench for this game. They decided to move Jermaine Ifedi inside to his guard spot. And they put Fant back out at right tackle for the second straight game. And then Ethan Posick at left guard. And it did not work out well.
No, I think we take J.R. Sweezy for granted that he's actually a very good guard. He does the dirty stuff very well. And Fluker, for as derided as he was when he came in this summer, he's been fantastic. And he's made Efeli a better player. Efeli slipped back into some of his old ways today, which obviously is a massive gripe with me that anyone's heard me on this podcast before. Is a not a Jermaine Efeli fan. But yeah, it was a suspect line. Hopefully Sweezy and Fluker are back next week.
Sounds like Sweezy might be on track to come back. I think we can count on Fluker to be back in that game.
Wilson escaped without getting injured, so that's the part of it that makes sense. If Wilson had gone down because of a missed block, then I would have been super annoyed.
Oh, it was a lot of work, though. Toward the end of the game, you're wondering, okay, just what exactly are the Seahawks playing for? Because the Vikings are down big to the Chicago Bears. The Eagles are up big on the Skins. So it looks like the playoff spots have all shaken out. Really, all the Seahawks were playing for were to keep the 49ers away from getting the number one pick instead of the Cardinals, and that's what we succeeded in. So, catfish! You Niners fans.
They don't need another first pick on another defensive end.
No.
No, I appreciate that. Letting the Cards have the first pick instead was good, and there's a thing during the game that came up on the broadcast that their last first pick was a quarterback they drafted who became a punter, so that obviously went really well for them.
Well, I hope the Cardinals don't go quarterback with the first pick this year, because then it'll just give the 49ers the guy that they wanted anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of the way their luck's gone the last couple of years. They will just get the guy they want at number two or number three, wherever they are.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter. Russell Wilson sacked six times on the day, so he did take a little bit of a beating, and the Seahawks able to get to Rosen six times in this game. You had Jaron Reed, a sack and a half. He gets over 10 sacks, the first guy from that position since John Randall was with the Seahawks Hall of Famer. Wow. John Randall. And before that, Cortez Kennedy. So Jaron Reed joins those two Hall of Famers as the only defensive tackles to get 10 or more sacks from the defensive tackle spot.
That is a great group to be in. And what a jump he's made as well. He was, I thought last year and the year before, I thought he was an underrated defensive tackle. He was missing the sack numbers, but he's become a monster this year. And as Michael Sean Dugas says, he's a grown man.
Yeah, he's turned into the complete defensive tackle.
Yeah,
and pair him with Frank Clark, who also had a couple sacks on the day. He gets into the top 10 Seahawks all time, passing Cliff Averill. So he's on the top 10 list for the Seahawks in terms of sack numbers. So a nice day from him, too. Jacob Martin also in with a sack.
Yeah, good debut for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good day for Jacob Martin.
Making his first start, apparently.
Brady Quinn on the broadcast, you know, he got his first tackle. He got his first sack. Apparently, he hadn't played this entire season. But no, Mr. Quinn, that was, in fact, Jacob Martin's third sack on the year. So
awful. Absolutely awful. I'm a big fan of this group. I've been on the Quinton Jefferson hype train since we first got him, and he's come through this season. He's an integral part as well. And Akeem King, who seems to have come from nowhere,
yeah,
made some really big plays the last couple of weeks,
filling in with Shaquille Griffin going down early with what looked like an ankle injury, and he was lobbying to get back on the field. I was lobbying for him to get back on the field. I needed a pick for Griffin. The win's more important. 27-24, yes. And our Seahawks are going to the playoffs, Ross.
Yes, from everyone that thought we're going to win four games this season, we're a 10-win team, Brandon. 10 wins.
10-6.
Better than last year without all those superstars on defense.
It's interesting because Adam and I, we both had a 10-6 prediction for the Seahawks going in.
I think that's roughly where I was as well, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like quite the way that I expected them to get there either.
No, when I looked at the schedule before the season, I expected us to start 2-0. I did not expect to be 0-2 after those 2 weeks, but then the turnaround that happened and the big wins against the bigger or the better teams this year, they've just kind of reinforced my theory that I think we're going to go to at least the Super Bowl this season, because we can hang with the big teams. We can look at the two Rams games, lost by a combined 7 points, and beat the Chiefs, and the way the Saints are playing, we can hang with them, and just got to get past the Cowboys, which could be slightly trickier.
They had a pretty big day against the Giants this week, 36-35, the final score in that game for the Cowboys. And again, it's kind of the same thing. It's another division game. You think the Giants, oh, they aren't that great. Dak Prescott did play the whole game. Ezekiel Elliott sat out for the entire game. And a couple weeks back, I looked at the Dallas Cowboys team that held the Saints to just 10 points
yeah.
in Dallas. And here they are giving up 35 points to a Giants team.
Yeah, without Beckham as well, that can't really protect Eli. The interesting thing is, if the Eagles can beat the Bears, then we play the Eagles in Seattle, I think.
Right. Then we get to play the Rams in the second round if we're able to take down the Cowboys next week.
Yeah.
And the Saints, you know, they rested all their players this week, which it's an interesting idea to rest players when you're going into a bye week anyway. You end up with 2 weeks off then before playing in the divisional round. But I think the Saints, the way that they've been playing these last couple of weeks, I feel like they kind of needed the effort out there on the field. Just like I think it was probably good for Dallas to be out there and put a solid effort on the field.
Dallas only rested Zeke, didn't they? Everyone else was playing.
Right. Going down the stretch, the Saints, they struggled with, it started with that Dallas game. They lost to Dallas. They struggled in the next weeks. They struggled against the Bucs.
Yeah.
So they're not in that great a position going into their home game, their home playoff game.
No, you probably can afford to rest Drew Brees. He's, 39 years old. You can give him an extra week off, but the rest of that team, the offense, is not really clicking. So they need to keep playing games to get in there. And I don't know, I'm just super excited for the playoffs now. I can't wait.
This is going to be fun going into the playoffs.
It's all setting up perfectly for us to beat the Rams and then march on to the Super Bowl. Not that I'm getting ahead of myself.
Take down the Cowboys, take down the Rams, and then a home playoff game. You know, we could just count on the Eagles. Yeah. Well, we can live in our fantasy world for, you know, at least a little bit, right?
Especially after a 10-win season.
Well, let's go back and run down just, you know, how the Seahawks got here in this game, because it was tough early with Russell Wilson throwing an interception, gives the Cardinals a short field. Cardinals able to get that first field goal to put them up on the board, but then they go for it at midfield, 4th and 1. They turn it back over to Seattle. It was an interesting decision there at midfield for the Cardinals to go for it.
Yeah, really odd. The way they hadn't really kind of got the running game going. So just a really strange team, the Cardinals. But yeah, I was happy that they went for it and didn't get it.
It was one of those situations for me. You know, Adam and I talk about this all the time. Are you happy that they're going for it on 4th down? And in that situation, I was like, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, your side of the field. Still in the first quarter. Yeah, go for it.
Seahawks get the ball back and Russell Wilson marches down the field, finds Tyler Lockett wide open on the right side for his 10th touchdown of the season.
That contract extension we gave him looks better and better with every single game, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
What value?
And people were complaining about it when they said, oh, that's too much money to give to Tyler Lockett.
No, it's not at all.
No, you do not hear that at any point, especially at this point in the season now.
That's one of the biggest bargains of the season. He finished 1 yard short of 900 yards. Actually, no, it's before today's game. So we've got over 900 yards, 10 touchdowns.
Yeah, Lockett had just the 2 catches for 66 yards. He had the 1 touchdown catch, and then he had that 37-yard catch down the sideline on the final drive of the game. Lockett only targeted twice. It was on that first touchdown drive and then the last field goal drive.
He's a hugely efficient receiver, which is great to see. The highlight of that first touchdown, as soon as the ball left Wilson's hands, Doug Baldwin threw his hands up to signal touchdown. He knew, because he saw that both the corner and the nickel corner had come in to cover him and just left Tyler to run free.
Yeah, absolutely nobody covering Lockett. And so, thanks, Cardinals. Doug Baldwin on the day, just 2 catches for 27 yards. 5 targets overall for him. He had a couple passes just bounce out of his hands. Now, one was him going to the ground, and that was a pretty tough catch. And then he had one toward the sideline that, gosh, is one of those sideline catches that he always makes and wasn't able to come down with it.
Yeah, slightly frustrating game for him. You can see he was frustrating himself, but he's developed a snarl, which I really like. It's a good look for Doug. Like, he scored last week, he snarled, and after a couple of catches today, he's done it both times. It's like a hinting at the angry Doug Baldwin of previous years.
Yeah, we need a little bit of that going into the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. It's vital for us.
That one touchdown pass to Tyler Lockett was the only touchdown pass by Russell Wilson on the day, but it was enough for him to pass Dave Craig for the most touchdown passes all time by a Seattle Seahawks quarterback.
Is it 196 now? That's pretty good going.
And I think he did it in at least 17, 18 fewer games than Craig did.
Yeah, I think overall NFL-wise, I think he's only behind Peyton Manning as well, his first 7 years, the touchdown.
Peyton Manning and Dan Marino.
I mean, that's not bad company to be in.
No, those two guys, they were pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 12 completions for 152 yards. It doesn't jump off the page at you, but it was an efficient day when he did have time to throw the ball. He threw a pick, obviously, which was incredibly reminiscent of that play.
Yeah, the way David Moore went down.
Yeah, wearing 83 as well.
I did not need that visual.
No, Twitter exploded as soon as that happened. Yeah. Like, oh my God, like posting the pictures of it.
I'm going to try to avoid Twitter and seeing the side-by-side shots of that because it was too reminiscent.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the defense for the Seahawks. We talked a little bit about the defensive line with Frank Clark and Jaron Reed getting some big stats. But how about Bobby Wagner? There were a couple moments where I thought, Bobby's going to miss a tackle. And no, he's still Bobby Wagner having a heck of a game and continuing on his all-pro, what I would expect to be an all-pro season.
You don't escape Bobby Wagner.
No.
The minute he gets the slightest fingertip of a glove on you, that's it. Your play is over. You're going down. Only the one QB hit, but again, 12 tackles, which seems his baseline for every single game, which is incredible. 12 tackles per game is insane.
That's a huge number.
He's not even 30 years. He's 28 years old. Think of the numbers he's going to finish with.
Oh, yeah.
He could easily be our leading tackler of all time.
He's getting close, I think, already. And there's some guys that have put up some big numbers in a Seahawks uniform.
Yeah, and it looks great to see KJ back out there. That flying tackle that KJ made.
Yeah.
He looked quick as well on that play, which is really good to see.
Yeah, having KJ and Bobby out there healthy. That's what the Seahawks need. They have the pass rush, I think, is starting to be there. You know, with Clark and Reed, and you mentioned Jefferson, who also had a sack in this game. Jacob Martin. You know, he had the sack early in the game. And, you know, this is a young defensive line that's just starting to develop. And I think they have just enough of a rotation there that you can count on going into the postseason.
Yeah, definitely. There's players there that are kind of going under the radar as well. Like Mingo is contributing as well. And I'm a big fan of Austin Calitro. He's taken my Cassius Marsh affections. He's kind of my new boy on the team.
Like the borderline players that are just, you know, whether or not they're going to make the team or not the next year. You know, you got to hold on to one of the guys you know is going to make the team, Ross.
I do. No, I've got to give these guys my love. He's filled in ably at times, especially when KJ was injured earlier in the season. But I'm going to say this quite quietly, but Shaq Griffin was eerily reminiscent of Richard Sherman and that early first quarter crashing down on running plays and getting tackles off of the edge. It looked almost like a mirror image of what Sherman used to do for us.
And, you know, on the other side, you got Trey Flowers. That's one thing that Pete Carroll has done an outstanding job with the corners is teaching them how to tackle well and finding guys who are willing to tackle because, you know, you look over at Patrick Peterson on the other side of the football. And he has an assist.
Yeah.
he's not one of the guys that's going to get in there and do a whole lot of tackling from his cornerback spot. So
no, he likes the highlight plays. He doesn't like the dirty work.
Yeah.
And it took three games of quarterbacks targeting Flowers before they realized that he's quite good. He's he's not a guy that you can just pick on the entire game.
No.
And the rest of the guys, I mean, Coleman could have had, two picks in this game?
There was one that was right in Coleman's hands. There was another one that was right in the hands of McDougal.
Oh, McDougal, yeah.
And I think that was Rosen's first pass of the game where he went deep down the middle and it was just in and out of the hands of McDougal.
Yeah, very annoying. But it feels crazy to say because we lost all those superstar named players. But the defense, I don't think, has taken much of a drop off from last season because we weren't not giving up points last year.
I think that's been one of the biggest turnarounds for the season, Ross, is the fact that the number of turnovers and as giving up as few times as they did. And they mentioned it on the broadcast, you know, the Seahawks attempting to tie the record with just giving it up 10 times by the offense. Unfortunately, they give it up the 11th. And I don't know if those special teams turnovers, they probably factor in that as well. So, yeah, the fact that they were able to get so many turnovers over this entire season, I think was a big factor in getting to 10 wins this season.
Oh, yeah, hugely. You look at the Niners, they've got 5 turnovers this season on defense. That's
wow.
How is that possible?
That few?
To go through a season. Yeah, it can't be more. It was 5 turnovers 2 weeks ago. So unless they've had a really good couple of weeks, which I can't imagine they've had, that's incredible that they've only had that many.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure we've had near that in one game this season.
Well, one other frustrating point for me, Ross, was coming out after halftime. And, we saw so many times, we mentioned it earlier on, the Seahawks would drop back on third down. And, whether it was 3rd and 5, 3rd and 10, seemed like the Cardinals were right there. They seemed to be running these long developing plays on third down. And the offensive line just could not hold up for that long. So coming out of the half, you expected the Seahawks. Okay, you heard it from Pete Carroll. They're going to get back to running the football. Mm-hmm. And against the Cardinals defense, that's really what... We talked about how many yards they racked up against the Cardinals defense. 182 yards. Running the football is what they needed to do. They got Mike Davis. They got Chris Carson. We didn't see a whole lot of J.D. McKissick for whatever reason. But, they have the depth at running back, too. And yet, 6 straight pass plays that went absolutely nowhere coming out of the half.
Yeah, incredibly frustrating. I think they have a tendency to try and get a bit too clever with themselves sometimes. We can see what works. Mm-hmm. Just don't mix it up. We know what works. Just give the ball to Carson. Like Clint Lombardo says every single week, multiple times during our Ring of Honor page and on Twitter and everywhere, just give Chris Carson every single snap because he will just keep running and running and running.
And fortunately, the series where Carson did have the big run, the Cardinals punt the ball down to the 2-yard line. The one run, Carson just barely able to get it out of the end zone. Mm-hmm. And the next one, they get a few yards. And then on third down, Russell Wilson taken down from behind, fumbles the football. The Cardinals take it into the end zone. And thank goodness we're bailed out by a holding on Doug Baldwin by Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
And right after that, Carson gets the big 61-yard run.
Yeah, that's what I've waited all season to see, Carson to really break one. I was desperate for him to stiff arm that guy and take it into the end zone, but he got caught from behind at the end. But another 122 yards, and what has he finished on? 1,100 and something?
Oh, yeah, easily.
8 or 9 touchdowns?
Yeah.
What a season. We've come off of the season we had last year when we had the one rushing touchdown from McKissick. To this, we're getting 2 or 3 a game. It's an entirely different team, and it's just Seahawks football, isn't it? If this is what we do. Don't try and get too clever. Don't come out with 6 passes in a row because that's not what we do. Run the ball.
1,151 yards on the season for Carson.
Wow. He's had as many 100-yard games as Todd Gurley this year.
And yet, I don't hear anybody really talking about Chris Carson.
No, not at all. There's 2 running backs that have had more 100-yard games, those being Saquon Barkley and Zeke Elliott. I mean, he's in the conversation with those guys in terms of yards and efficiency this season.
9 touchdowns on the air. Hopefully he makes such a big impact in the playoffs now that people start looking to Seattle and going, oh, hey, 7th rounder out of Oklahoma State. This dude's pretty good.
Yeah, because we've got our 1st rounder, Rashad Penny, who's flashed on occasion, but they gave him a series today and he got 6 yards on 4 carries. And he's always looking to break it outside. And Carson will do that, but Carson will also get those hard yards through the middle. And that's really what matters, I think.
1st carries back coming off of a knee injury. I was convinced that it was that David Johnson jersey hanging in Rashad Penny's locker. It was just enough of that bad juju for this game that I wasn't comfortable with it.
Did you see he had I think he had a Gurley one in there as well.
Was it a Gurley or was it?
Yellow. It was a Rams one.
I think it was a Rams one, but I think it was a high number player. I'm wondering if it was a San Diego State player for the Rams. Okay. That was my only thought. Yeah. I didn't get a good look at the number either.
What are they doing in there? All he's missing is a Jarrett McKinnon.
Yeah, right. You got to get a Niners jersey in there too, just to have the entire NFC West set.
Yeah, but just Davis is the man. Carson's the man, and Davis is a very, very good backup for him.
I think we can count on Penny continuing to grow too. And as long as they can continue to keep this formula going through the playoffs. It was almost like they got away from it just in the 1st and 2nd quarter and thought, oh, yeah, we can throw the football against the Cardinals.
Yeah, the 1st 2 quarters reminded me of weeks 1 and 2.
Right. It felt exactly like that. And then until that one drive where that turnaround play of the Cardinals potentially going up by 7 points if they decide to go for 2 at that, because it was 14-13 after the half. That would have, you know, with a touchdown and a 2-point conversion like they went for later on, you know, that could have put
them
up.
Which
they didn't get. What? You know, there were a couple calls that on replay. Although, you know what? If you're going to call one, I don't know. I feel like I'm being a little bit too much of a homer, because both of them, in terms of visual evidence for what the referees go by on those plays, they had to stick with the call on the field, I guess.
But it's like they see something else to everybody else that sees the replay.
Yeah.
Like they must see their own ref's version that don't get, because everyone else on social media and the broadcasters and everyone else says, oh, yeah, that needs to be overturned. But it never is. And then when it is, it's the wrong way around again.
Well, they need to call it correctly on the field. And the Fitzgerald catch down the sideline, I looked at that and I thought, well, it looks like he probably got in.
Yeah, that right ankle was kind of down on the ground.
Right. Yeah, just the side of his foot. But you couldn't really tell where the line started. You know, they just don't, for games like this, they just don't have enough cameras on the field like they do for some of those nationally broadcast games.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But yeah, kind of, you get one and you lose one.
And then Coleman blocking the 2-point conversion, which shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
And they've had a history of those kinds of calls going against him. We go back to the Testaverde, you know, phantom touchdown by the Jets, you know, back when the Seahawks were in the AFC West, you know, that was a week 17 call where he came, you know, his helmet crossed the goal line, but not the ball. And they called it a touchdown back in the day when they didn't have replays, but that kept the Seahawks out of the playoffs. Fortunately, this time we had it locked up, and thank goodness we did. Against the Cardinals, because if we would have lost to the Chiefs going into this game and cutting it 3 points close to the Cardinals just to sneak into the playoffs, I don't know what I would have done in this game.
It would have felt completely different, wouldn't it? The confidence levels going in would have felt completely different.
Totally, yeah.
But as soon as we beat the Chiefs, I was working, I had to listen to that game on the radio, and Steve Raywell does a great job, along with a guy who I can never remember his name.
Dave Wyman.
Who's his co-commentator? Dave Wyman. Yeah, he's brilliant. He's so funny. He's the driest man I've ever heard on radio, but he's so funny with it.
Yes.
But as soon as we beat the Chiefs, I wasn't particularly concerned with this result. Like, I wanted to win, obviously, but I figured it's the Cardinals. They'll come in here and they'll play hard because that's what they do. But if we lost, fine. We were kind of guaranteed that fifth seed anyway. The series of events that were required would have been quite extraordinary to us to drop into the sixth, so...
Yeah, we would have had a count on the Vikings, which we couldn't.
They're on national TV. You can't count on them.
No. And I would not want to be a Vikings fan after this week with Kirk Cousins and bringing him in. And rough year for them. One interesting thing here, looking at the stat line while we're talking quarterbacks and Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, 152 yards. Josh Rosen, 149 yards. Russell, though, only took 12 completions on 21 attempts to do it.
Yeah.
Josh Rosen, 18 completions, 34 attempts for his 149 yards.
Oof. So. Yeah. I've never been a David Johnson guy either. And I think this season has proved me correct. I mean, he's not running behind any sort of line, but I don't think he's in this upper echelon of running backs at all.
They haven't used him as well as they could in past seasons. You know, the passes out of the backfield. You know, just 4 targets, 3 catches, and just 6 yards. But the Seahawks were all over David Johnson out of the backfield. And you could see that was kind of an emphasis for both Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright. Because as soon as it was coming out of the backfield toward David Johnson, they were all over it. So
they were there, straight away.
And I guess congrats to Larry Fitzgerald, who gets a touchdown in his final game.
It's hard not to like Fitz, isn't it? Even though he plays for them, it's hard not to be kind of appreciative of what he does and the fact that he's still going.
Yeah, I'd like to see him keep playing more, but I can see him, this being his last game. You know, it seemed like through his press conferences that he was kind of wrapping up his career, and just 4 catches, 36 yards, but he did have the 15-yard touchdown and came early on in the game, so Seahawks able to overcome it too. I was okay with him getting a touchdown, but I kind of wanted it to be, you know, a little bit a game that was not so close.
Yeah, I started by 30 and him scoring in garbage time. Yeah. That would have been fine.
It's fine. Well, the Seahawks, they get the win. We are moving on to face the Dallas Cowboys. Ross, any early thoughts going into that game with the Cowboys?
Yeah, we're going to run it down their throats and we're going to beat them quite easily, I think. I don't rate this Cowboys team at all. They're in a really, really rubbish division. it took a Redskins collapse, catastrophic injuries to their quarterbacks that have taken them out of first place. And I think the Redskins would have carried on and just got into the playoffs in first place in that division. I think the Cowboys have been lucky because of that. They've played a relatively soft schedule as well. And I don't know, I don't think they're that good. Van Der Esch is a very good linebacker, but
I think he got hurt in this game against the Giants.
Oh, really? I don't wish that on anyone, but if he's not playing this week, then that's brilliant.
Yeah, I didn't see how severe was it, but I did see on Twitter that Van Der Esch had to come out of the game. So
DeMarcus Lawrence scares me up against our line, but I think if Fluker's there,
if Sweezy's back.
Yeah, they can handle kind of the main rushing threat. So what worries me is the revenge game factor of Chris Richard.
Sure.
That's kind of my issue, and Wilson getting taken down with these long developing plays, but I think they'll tidy that up this week.
Well, it will be a slightly shorter week with the game coming on at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time this Saturday evening, and the game will air on Fox, which means we are likely to get our favorite Joe Buck and Troy Aikman broadcasting tandem.
If they're on next week, I'm listening to the radio. I'm going to watch the game on mute and just listen to Rabel call it.
Right, exactly. All right, Ross. Well, I want to thank you for coming in and filling in for Adam to handle the post-game show this week. If people want to check out your First and 10 podcast, where do they go?
Just look on iTunes or Spotify, First and 10 podcast. It's me and my friend Dave. We talk about all teams in the NFL, whether he's a Patriots fan, I'm a Seahawks fan. It shouldn't work, but it does. It's the original odd couple. But yeah, it's good fun, and we do competitions and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, just subscribe to us on there and follow us on all social media at First and 10.
Excellent. Check it out. And Ross, I think with that, there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.